Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Frost, and my guest today is Georgina Crossman. Georgina is the director of the National Equine Forum, an event that's taking place this Thursday in London. 250 of the top industry experts get together every year to talk about the future of the industry. And Georgina's going to share who the guest speakers are, from Professor Sue Dyson at the Animal Health Trust to Alan Hiscox, who's the Director of Safety for the British Horse Society. She's also going to share how you can get involved. This is Horse Hour. Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. We're talking about the National Equine Forum today. It's an event that I've been raving about since last year. The speakers were incredible. So we're joined today by Director of the NEF. Her name's Georgina Crossman, and I like to call her the Chief Organiser. How are you, George?
Hi, Amy. It's great to hear from you. And we're really excited about the National Equine Forum this year and talking to your listeners about it.
It's an event which you've got 250 of the top experts in the country, in the industry, all get together in one room and talk about how we can shape the future of the equestrian industry. But you've been going a really long time, isn't it? Over 20 years?
Yes. This year is our 26th year, which is amazing. It was set up in the early 90s and basically to try and bring the industry together and people together from the sector to talk about things that they're interested in. And we're non-political, so we are not affiliated to any organisation, but it basically provides an opportunity for people within the sector to get together and discuss the issues of the day. So we're really excited. It's Thursday the 8th of March.
You have some incredible people that champion the NEF. You include the DEFRA Minister. He's going to be there.
Yes, we're very lucky. For a number of years, we've had a minister from DEFRA come and speak. So this year, we're kicking off with Lord Gardner, who spoke last year. Actually, he's coming back again this year, which is really lovely.
So it's not just a case of a few people that are getting together every year just to have a little chat and a natter over coffee. You know, you are really talking to the high levels of government. When you look at your committee, you know, you're the chief organiser because you put the whole event together. But on your committee, how many people do you have?
We have 14 people on the committee. We have a wide variety. So, for example, we have Rolly Owers, who is from World Horse Welfare. We have Lynn Peterson from the British Horse Society. And we have Claire Williams from the British Equestrian Trade Association. Our chair is Tim Brigstock. And our vice chair is Pat Harris. I feel a little bit ingenuous now by not mentioning everybody else who's on the committee. But people are on the committee basically to represent a sector or a section of the equestrian sector. So we try to make sure that all the sectors are represented in some shape or form.
And the way that it runs is you have speakers that talk about their part of the industry throughout the day. Last year, Sue Dyson, oh my goodness, her speech was just, I almost wanted to call it a lecture. It was amazing. And it was on the way that tack is used and how it can affect the horse's performance and also the horse's muscles. Completely mesmerising. So who do you have on your speaker list this year?
Well, we're very lucky to have Sue actually coming back again this year. She's coming back. She talked about particularly about saddle fit last year, which is very, very important to make sure that saddles are fitting correctly and the weight is distributed evenly and all of those different things. And this year she's coming to talk about rider weight and rider to horse body weight ratios, basically, and the impact that has on equine gait and behaviour. They've been doing a pilot study at the Animal Health Trust, which has been funded by about 14 different sponsors. They've got a lot of people, a lot of organisations involved in it. And she's giving basically an overview of that study, which is really exciting. We kick off, as I said just now, with Lord Gardner talking about the DEFRA review. We've then got Jeanette Allen and Lynn Peterson doing a bit of a double header, talking about how the equestrian sector speaks to the government and a new organisation that's being formed from the UK Equine Sector Council for Health and Welfare and the British Horse Industry Confederation. We've then got Stuart Everett coming back to give us an update on the Central Equine Database, particularly talking about what owners can expect from the Central Equine Database when it's launched. And that's being followed by John Bourne, who also works for DEFRA, who is talking about livestock traceability and the Livestock Improvement Programme. That might sound like it's not relevant at all to horses, but there is actually a link with the Central Equine Database, and it will be very interesting to see what he covers. We're then going on to the panel discussion, which is, I'm very excited about that this year, because with the live streaming, which we'll talk about in a minute, people are going to get an opportunity to get involved if they want to. But our panel discussion is entitled Potential Solutions to the Challenges Facing Small Equestrian Businesses.
Oh, how long have you got for that? We need about a day, I think, we face.
I think we could do the whole day on that if we wanted to. We've tried to condense it into an hour. It's being chaired by the Right Honourable Dame Caroline Spelman, MP, who is also the chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Group for the Horse, which is a very important group that champions the horse, if you like, within Parliament, so really key. We've got four questions that we're going to look at, which cover business rates, which is a very important topic, communication, and particularly the new general data protection regulations, health and safety and safeguarding, and then also the retention of staff. Some of those topics may sound a little bit dry, but our four panelists all have really good examples of things that they kind of examples of how they've overcome problems in those areas.
Do you know, George, nothing can seem dry when it comes to business. We're faced with so much that we have to contend with, and sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. So
yes,
to be able to see people and hear from experiences and stories of where they've been through it and how they got through it, I think will be really beneficial.
Yeah, so we've got two people who work directly with horses. So Carol Andrews, who's the owner of Wimbledon Village Stables, and Nick Gauntlet, who is the director of Chescombe Farm and Stud. And some of your listeners may be familiar with both of those people. We've then got two people who kind of work in ancillary industries. So Victoria Highfield, who runs online for Equine, and Emma Williams, who's the director of fundraising at World Horse Welfare. So they've all got really good understanding of the sector. And we had a telephone conference earlier this week talking about the panel discussion, and they've got some really great things to say. So I'm very excited to get that out there and for people to see it.
Great. So that's the morning session. And then what happens in the afternoon?
Yeah, we actually got one more person in the morning. So we're closing with Nick Rust from the British Horse Racing Authority, who's talking about the vital role of equine welfare and its perception within British racing,
that
which again
really
is a very important topic. Yeah, and I'm very interested to see what he says and what comes out of that session.
Yeah, because sadly racing doesn't have that much of a good perception, does it, in the public eye? I think there's a lot. I'd like to hear from him to see how much is the truth and how much of myths as to what we hear that goes on.
Yes, I think you always have to be careful what you hear and what you read, and always do your research to make sure that is actually correct, because things can very easily be made more of than necessary. But I think Nick actually coming in and talking about this topic is really important. So yeah, I'm pleased that he's going to be with us.
And so then everybody breaks for lunch, we have a little natter, cup of tea, and then what happens in the afternoon?
So in the afternoon, we've got some really great sessions. We're actually kicking off by talking about equestrian safety. So I'm really keen that we get as many people onto this as possible. We have Alan Hiscox from the British Horse Society, who's talking about their driver awareness work that the British Horse Society have done, which is really great. And he's going to be talking about some annual statistics that have not yet been released, which I'm really excited to see what they are. I haven't seen them yet, so that's exciting. Professor Michael Gilchrist from the University of College Dublin is talking about research and development in hat design, particularly about dealing with rotational impact. And that's not just about horse riding helmets, but also about the work that they've done with other sports as well, for example, cycling. So there are 12 or 13, quite a few PhD and master students working on this project in Europe. And it's really exciting to see what they're doing. We've then got Sam Watson from Equiratings talking about the use of data to manage risk in equestrianism. Mm-hmm. So again, really exciting. The data's been used in eventing, and it's now being used in endurance and other sports as well.
Yeah, but they're looking at predicting horses' performance, which is incredible.
They are. They're really using data to try and actually figure out how to help with that management of risk, but also for lots of other things as well, which is very interesting to see how that moves forwards. Mm-hmm. And then the final session in that little block is from Jonathan Clissold, who's the National Safety Officer from British Eventing. And he's actually talking about safety and eventing in kind of a broad focus. So global, really, rather than just in this country, although he is from British Eventing. So he'll be talking about frangible pins, how British Eventing and how other countries use that data that comes from Equiratings. He also has some input into Michael Gilchrist's project as well. So that will really kind of pull those things together. But I'm really excited because safety is very important. And actually, before all of that starts, we're going to briefly cover Beaver's Don't Break Your Vet campaign. So the British Equine Veterinary Association's very important campaign that was launched a couple of weeks ago, basically trying to help people look at their horses who are needle shy and things like that. So that trying to help the vet and make vets less likely to become broken, which is very important.
Yeah, because vets, they have a risky job as well.
They do.
You need to be able to get to a crazy horse before you can sedate them.
Exactly.
So, I do feel for them. That's a brilliant campaign run by Beaver.
Yes.
And what's really exciting, George, is that for 25 years, this has been a closed forum. You've either had to be invited to be there or you've had to apply to be able to get your hands on one of the very few amount of tickets. So this year it's really exciting because you are making the National Equine Forum available to the masses. And not only that, you get the chance to ask questions, which NEF will then put forward to the panel and to speakers.
Yeah, so we are very excited, and I'm personally very excited about this because we are going to live stream this for the very first time. Now, we have quite a few plans with the live streaming in terms of how people can submit questions and then also what we do with it afterwards. So we don't want this just to be a case of the people who are watching the live streaming, watching it and hopefully enjoying it, but also they will be able to put questions forward, and they will be able to do that via our social media channels. So through Facebook and our Twitter account, but also by Horse Hour's social media accounts as well. And we're aiming for each question slot to take one question from social media. And actually, one of our questions that's going into the panel discussion has come from social media as well already. We opened it up on social a couple of weeks ago. So it's a really good example of how you can get involved.
It's brilliant. It means that you get the opportunity to ask whatever you want. So pop on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram, whatever you want to do to get your question across, just use hashtag NEF18. And hashtag horse hour. We can only select a couple of questions. So they can't all be used because obviously the forum's so busy and the speakers will be speaking all day. So really think hard about your question. What is it that you'd like to get across? And then watch the live stream to see if your question gets answered.
Brilliant. We're so excited that people are going to be able to do this. It's going to be great to see what comes in over social media.
Well, it's nice to hear people's opinions as well. And I think at grassroots level, we quite often miss out on the opportunity of what goes on in these big forums and big meetings when people who I like to look at as the parents of the industry are making decisions on our behalf. And we all have an opinion when, you know, we're at the yard and we're talking to our friends and we're maybe on a hack. We've all got an opinion on what's going on. George, it sounds like a really good lineup.
Yes, I mean, we've got four more speakers as well that we haven't covered yet, or three more speakers as well covered. So after we've done the equestrian safety slot and we've had our questions to the four speakers in the form of a panel, we've got a short break and then we're going to look at our two topical slots. Now, topical slots are very short, sharp, 5-minute slots, and we don't actually take questions for them. But the first one's looking at rural crime, and we've got Chief Constable Dave Jones, who's from the National Police Chiefs Council and is also the Chief Constable of North Yorkshire Police, coming to talk about a new rural crime strategy, which is really exciting because it's the first time really that rural crime has been brought this far up the agenda and there's going to be a strategy for it. We've also got Nigel Oakley, who is a heavy horse ambassador from the Rare Breed Survival Trust, talking about heavy horses and their role basically now, so that we don't want to lose them. They're an important part of our heritage. And actually the roles that they can play are quite broad in terms of what we can actually do with them within the sector. Nigel is a real heavy horse man. He's got a lot of horses at home. He uses Suffolk punches on his farm. So we're really looking forward to hear what he says. He's being followed by Dr. Sue Dyson. We talked a little bit about her already, but talking about the influence of rider to horse weight, horse body weight ratios on equine gait and behaviour, and the results of her pilot study into that. And then we close with the memorial lecture, which this year is being given by Jim Green, who won the Sir Colin Spedding Award last year. And he's talking about equine emergency rescue and how you kind of manage risk within that, and also meeting what people need in that whole emergency scenario, which can be very frightening and traumatic. So yeah, really excited about our speakers. It's going to be I hope it's a cracking day and everybody enjoys it.
It sounds like it'll be a great day, George. And Jim is just such an incredible man. He's just come back from California working on some of the bushfires, and he helped with the flooding as well. So if anybody knows about, you know, how to rescue horses safely in a team, you know, working with the other services as well, then that's definitely him. And interestingly, when he won the Sir Colin Spedding Award last year, which means you would have nominees for this year. Who are they?
So we're really, really delighted with both of these. The first person is Dr. Simon Curtis, who is a farrier from Newmarket. He's got stacks, oodles of experience of farriery. And I think it's kind of over 40 years, 45 years. So we're really excited because he's actually done a lot of work on farriers. And farriery is very important. The old saying, no foot, no horse, is very true. We have to make sure our horses' feet are looked after well. And then the second finalist is the British Grooms Association.
Really?
Which is amazing. Yeah. And this is really good because the BGA actually came out of a presentation that Lucy Catan gave at the forum back in 2003. So 15 years ago now, she actually stood up at the forum and gave a presentation about the importance of the role of the groom. And how the sector wouldn't exist without the grooms. Mm. So yes, we're delighted with both of our finalists because they're both very deserving.
That's a tough one because, oh my goodness, Lucy is just so incredible. The support that she's given for grooms over the years is amazing. And then Simon, you know, he's been working as a farrier for all those years, and I know that he works on remedial work. So, that's a really tough choice. Who makes the decision?
So we have a subcommittee within the group who actually works on the shortlist, and then the committee as a whole makes a decision about who is the winner and who is the finalist.
Ooh, tough choice. I don't envy you for that one. I'd give it to both of them.
Ideally, if we could, we would.
So, well, this is brilliant, George. I think it's going to be really exciting. You can watch the live stream via your website, which is nationalequineforum.com.
Yes.
Follow them on Twitter, NatEcForum. We will be updating everything on Horse Hour. So if it's easier, just have a look at Horse Hour. We'll retweet. We'll be sending you pictures of what's going on, live tweeting updates. But it would be great if you can watch the live stream and then input your questions. Don't forget to use the hashtag NEF18, hashtag Horse Hour. And then to add, there's a selection of podcasts for you to listen to throughout the day of some of the guest speakers. So if you don't have time to watch all the live stream, maybe you want to catch up later, then you can hear, I'll be speaking to Jim Green, who won the Colin Spedding Award, Alan Hiscox from the British Horse Society, he's the Director of Safety. I also speak to Jonathan from British Eventing about safety, Sam Watson from Equi Ratings, and Lynn and Jeanette Allen as well. There's a few others there. There's too many for me to name, but they'll be going out on Twitter all day too. So there's so much for you to get involved with the National Equine Forum. Well, George, thank you so much. Thank you for organising this forum. I'm really excited. It's Thursday the 8th of March. And if you can't remember all the information that we've given you today, then just head to nationalequineforum.com. Thanks, George.
Thanks so much, Amy. We're looking forward to it and we'll see you very soon.
See you then. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I am so excited about the National Equine Forum on Thursday. It's our one unique opportunity to get to hear from some of these experts. And your mind must be going crazy with questions. What do you want to ask Sue Dyson? You can ask her anything. Maybe you have an opinion about rider safety and how we can be safer on the roads. Then tweet your question. Just use the hashtag NEF18 and hashtag horse hour. I can't wait to see what you're talking about. Your opinion counts for everything. I hope you have a really good week with your horse, and I'll speak to you from London from the National Equine Forum on Thursday. Speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter Mondays 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag Horse Hour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.